All right. I guess we'll call to order the Park Impact Fee Committee meeting for Wednesday, December 18th at 6:30, and we'll start with roll call.
Committee member Jace Hellman.
Here.
Committee member Robert Cleary.
Here.
Committee member David Gronbeck.
Here.
All right, then we'll move on to item two on the agenda. Our business will be under 2A, consideration to approve the Park Impact Fee Committee meeting minutes from August 15th. This is an action item, so I will stand for a motion to approve those meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I second that.
Yes. Motion's made and seconded. All in favor, aye.
Is there discussion?
Do you want to discuss it?
Well, I think this number 1,829 should be a million, correct? Or under B?
It would be. Yes.
Where are we talking? Where it says since they started, comma. Right now it says 1,829 in impact fees had been collected.
It should be a million, right?
Oh, that's how many impact fees.
So it's saying that there's been 1,829 impact fees collected?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. So that has been changed, so I don't need to.
Yes, it's been changed.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Any other discussion?
Nope.
So I guess motion's made and seconded, and all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, on to the second is business item 2B, an update on park impact fees. We have Bobby Withrow, Parks Director.
Park Impact Fee Committee. So this year has been a really good year. So far, we've collected 787 impact fees. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's been 787 building permits, because that does include multifamily, which they usually have one building permit, but we get to charge them four times because there's four building units. So, and that comes out to roughly $739,000 this year. So.
And what is that? What is that? It's the same number for a multifamily unit versus a
house, yep.
And how
yep.
much is that again?
$939,000.
Okay.
Yep. So.
Is there any thought why they're the same number? You have a lot more users at a multi-unit.
Yeah, because when they do the multifamily, they go based off dwelling units, which is what we go off to. So when a multifamily or like a fourplex, everything basically gets charged by or multiplied by four. Because each individual unit could have the 3.02 people per person or person per unit, which is how we did the calculation. So, like a triplex would be 3, a duplex would be 2.
Makes sense.
Is this an appropriate time to have a discussion kind of outside what we're talking about, or is there a new business category? Or
We can do that after C.
Okay.
Okay, just make a note.
Yeah, okay. I'll just.
Okay.
Is that all you had for that, Bobby?
Yep.
Any other questions for him on the update? No. Okay. We'll move on then to item 2C, consideration to approve the 2020 Park Impact Fee Capital Improvement Plan. Again, with Bobby Withrow, this is an action item, so at the end we'll have a motion to is this for the approval or recommending you take this to council?
This is your guys' approval, okay. And then I'll take it to council.
So recommendation, or an approval for you to take it
yes.
forward.
Got yep.
it. All right, and I guess, Bobby, do you want to go over it a little, and then we'll go into discussion from there?
Yep. Park Impact Fee Committee members, for the record, Bobby Withrow, City of CUNA Parks Director. I forget that sometimes. So for this year coming up, I've kind of laid out some general fund or I guess I should say, if you start looking at your tables, you'll see one that says general fund. So that's kind of the stuff that I'm going to be asking for this year under the general fund. So council will have to approve that. We are looking at a mini excavator, doing some more green belt lighting, and like we usually do, doing some grant matches. And then as more things come up over the year, I'll be adding to this one so you guys can see it for next year. On the next page is the grant one for fiscal 2020. There's not much on it this year. We are going to try to get a grant to help with some of our green up in some places, but grants aren't always guaranteed, so we just put that number in there hoping we can get some of that. And then the last page will be the park impact fee capital improvement plan. So this is what the park impact fees will be spent on. So I have it lined out under the first one, a park impact fee update. So I wanted to go through and have our park impact fees updated just to make sure we're doing everything we're supposed to. And we usually we'll have a company come through and audit what we're doing. And if there's a change, then I'll come with the consideration to change that as far as what we assess a fee to.
And that's $50,000 for that review?
I've seen them up to $50,000.
Really?
Yeah, I think Meridian's was that much.
I'm in the wrong business.
I'm hoping I'm really high on this one. I'm hoping it comes in between $10,000 and $20,000. But I didn't want to have to come and ask for more money from you guys or to amend this later on.
So this is just an audit. Is that really?
It's an audit, and they'll go through they'll basically redo it if they see that we did something wrong in the first one.
Okay. And didn't we pay somebody, that gal, to do the first one? Or mm-hmm.
No, that one was all done in-house.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So, yep.
Okay.
Seeing how this is really, the impact fees are really looked at, I just want to make sure we're okay. Doing everything on the up and up.
Seems reasonable. You don't have to spend 50, but it's there if you need to.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, hope you don't.
The next one is behind Crimson Point. They are starting to get a little bit longer, so we want to go through and put a pathway behind it. We do currently own that, so adding a pathway would help out with connectivity and kind of graining up that area.
Will it connect right now to anything, or is it
No, right now it's just along the backs. It'll go along the backside along the creek.
Okay.
So right now, really, the only people that will benefit will be the people living there, so they can have access.
Okay.
It is half a mile, I believe.
Okay.
So it'll be used.
Okay.
It will eventually connect to subdivisions going north at that point.
Any lighting or anything on that stretch, or just?
I haven't planned for it yet because it's a lot of rock.
Right.
So I'm not even sure if we're going to put grass in some areas.
Got it.
Just because of the terrain.
Okay.
And then the next one would be a sports complex construction. So I should have named this one the Helen Zamzos Park construction because that's kind of what we're planning.
So that was going to be my next question. I don't see Zamzos Park on here.
Yeah. So that. I should have named that one different. That one should have been Helen Zamzo.
So that's all part of, will everything for Zamzos be under that category then?
Yeah. Yep. And we are working with an engineering firm for parking lot and designs for that. So as soon as I have that, I'll bring it to you guys and we can start looking at it. The next one is Patagonia Park. This park was brought to me probably about June or July after we decided to start investing in Helen Zamzo Park. This park is about 9 acres with seven acres of actual park in the Patagonia subdivision. I have been working with the developer, trying to get the price down as low as I can. So we're thinking $550 is going to be kind of the price for that. So so that brings a total of, for next year, of $1.7 million. Possibly spent.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm open for questions.
What kind of features will be at that Patagonia Park? Soccer fields?
Yeah, so the main things are it's going to be two big soccer fields. So a big, giant open space. They don't necessarily have to be soccer fields. They can be broken down into little soccer fields, football fields, lacrosse fields. Basically, whatever we have the need for, that's what we're going to use it for. It will have a maintenance building and bathrooms over there as well. So that's why it's over $500,000.
And so this price is for purchase of the property and the development of the complex?
Yeah, this will be our part of it, yep.
But the developer is
the
designing and developing it, correct?
Yep, the developer is.
And so then we're purchasing what they've built? Or is this our contribution to that development?
Yeah, this
development.
Is our contribution to what they've already, what they're going to put in there too.
When they're done,
yeah. And
maintain it.
Yep, we'll maintain it and have control over it.
Okay. Parking?
Yeah, a big parking lot.
About two acres, right?
Yep. Pathways all the way around. Pickleball court, basketball court type of thing.
Nice.
I'm trying to think of what else.
Where is it? Kind of in that.
Basically,
it's in the north.
It's in the northwest
corner.
Yeah. Where the reeds, like nursery. I think they have their Christmas trees now, and then you go a little bit further to the east, and it'll be on the top corner of the Patagonia development.
Is there access off of Meridian Road to it, or is it just through
not
the
yet.
Development?
Not yet, but there is. There will be.
There will be. There,
yeah, there's a mid-mile collector
Mason
that runs right by that, or right atop of it. So eventually, as development moves that way, it should be accessed via.
Got it. Okay. Do we need a motion to anybody
else? I guess if we got anyone else got any more questions, we can motion. This is for us to approve the park impact or his capital improvement plan and bring it to council for their final approval.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll motion that we approve the 2020 park impact fee capital improvement plan and present to council for approval.
All right, motion's made. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion is made and seconded. Any other discussion?
No.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, motion carries. All right, before we get to adjournment, just is there any additional items we want to talk about? I guess we'll go David first, and then I'll bring up the switching of the dates.
Yeah, so I have a question regarding what I'm understanding is an open space agenda that's coming from the city of CUNA. When the original commission agreed to the park impact fee, the big selling point of that was that it was going to reduce the requirements of developers so we don't have all these small parks and open space. Can you help me understand what the logic is behind? First, we were told, okay, this is going to lessen the burden on developers. Now, I'm understanding that there's going to be more burden for open space, but yet we still have this impact fee.
You want to start?
Can you guys speak to that?
Committee member Grombach. Our open space ordinance that we are bringing forward. It's not necessarily to hurt development, because we've had developments in the past that have zero. Open space, and we're starting to see that as a community that's not benefiting us, when actually we're kind of pushing the open space. So the the developer will start doing the bigger parks. And anything after 5 acres, the city can take over and start maintaining that. That's not what we're pushing for, but we're trying to push for more activity in the subdivisions. Because right now, you know, the way it is right now, we don't have a lot of it. People have to, you know, right now drive to the Greenbelt to use it, where our master pathways plan now has a lot of it in their backyards with our connectivity. So we're not trying to burden developers. We're just trying to get more activity within the community. It is part of our comprehensive plan. There were a lot of people saying that they wanted more open space. So our comprehensive plan called that out. And then we actually made a citywide goal of having 1 acre per 80 people of open space for the community.
1 acre per 88 people?
Yeah, one acre per 80 people.
I think it goes back to my question. The selling point behind an impact fee was to the committee, to the original committee, was to, you know, we're going to burden the developer, well, the home buyer, but the developer, yeah, with an impact fee. So we're assured that the requirements, you know, for open space, you know, were going to be lessened, but now I understand they're going to be more.
Well,
and we still have an impact fee.
Yeah. So at that point, there was no impact fee, or there was no open space required at that point. There was one that was put in, and the way it was worded, it didn't make sense. And that's what we're trying to go through and justify now. In actuality, all of the subdivisions within the past 3 years have actually already fallen within what we're proposing. So we're not saying we want everybody to go above and beyond. We're just saying we just want to keep the status quo.
We're catching, so about 70% in the last 3 years have already exceeded what this code is asking for. We're trying to catch the other 30 to also contribute to what is more of a quality life thing than anything. Not to mention, once a park reaches a certain size or open space greenbelt, that's all eligible to be accepted by the city, therefore eligible for impact reimbursement, which then pulls that cost of impact fees off of the home buyer.
And that's 5 acres?
5 acres, and then pathways are, according to our master pathway plan.
What does that look like? Just curious.
Like a pathway?
Yeah. Like, it's a reimbursement type thing for pathways? And
basically, and Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, if it's built to the city standards, which is like a 30-foot wide lot within a 10-foot pathway, it's eligible for impact fee credit. So basically, for that night, let's say it's a one-house subdivision, not going to happen, but they do the open space, the 5-acre open space. Instead of on that building permit, they pay the $939. The city eats that and doesn't need to pay the $939. They get that credit on that building permit,
okay,
therefore reducing the cost of those building permits.
I'm just curious. I think originally when we came out with the impact fee that developers were understanding of it, I'm just wondering what the consensus is, you know, with the additional open space requirement along with the impact fee. Have you heard?
We've heard from one developer in particular that when it was proposed, he went to the way extremes to explain how it wasn't going to benefit anybody. Other than that, we have met with another one who says, yes, we need more open space. And we sat down with him and talked with him, talked about it. And that's when we, after that meeting, that's when we kind of adjusted things a little bit too.
Can you explain kind of what that open space ordinance is going to look like, what that requirement is?
So basically it's per dwelling unit. So the more impact that's being put in by a subdivision, the higher amount of percentage of open space that's going to be required. So basically anything that would be a small infill project, basically the 1 to 6 little small lot subdivisions that do little infill aren't going to be required to do anything with the open space. 7 to 50 is at what?
7%.
And then it just goes up in 50% increments up to 12.5% is the max.
12.5%
of the overall development site.
Okay. We say that again. I'm going to be asked this, and I've just heard about it. And I,
yeah. Where do you want me to start?
Just from the beginning. So,
okay, one to six, what we're going to look at is those infill projects are exempt from
NA.
Okay. What the code. And this is obviously this is what staff's presenting.
Okay.
Whether it's that's what's accepted or not.
So 7 to?
7 to 50 starts at 7%, and then all the way up to 551, it increases 0.5%. So basically you go from 7%, we end at 12.5%. So anything that's over 551 plus is at 12.5%.
Okay.
Now, those don't acquire if you do a PUD. PUD is still at that 10%. Which PUD, just for warning, PUD is also on the block of getting rewritten, but that's down the road when I have time.
That's on your plate, huh? Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, so these are standards.
Is this per lot? Is that where per
50 lots at the way it's set up? But yeah, it's capped based on your amount of dwelling units that you're placing on a project.
So it doesn't matter if you're developing on 1 or 2 acre lots versus.
Let's take a 1 or 2 acre lot on.
On 100 acres.
Let's take 100 acre. Well, that's still 100 homes.
Yeah.
That's still that 3.07 people. That's still over 300 some people.
But you're still requiring additional open space, even though the homes are built on large lots based on the current.
And that might be a pathway. That runs along a canal, which
and that's what we were trying to tell people. It's not you're just going to then eliminate 20 lots and make that just one space, open space. Like this is throughout the entire project, whether it's pathways, little parks.
Connecting pathways through the subject.
School sites count toward the entire school site counts towards the open space requirements. So we've had some projects looking at that already eat up their entire requirement just with the school site.
Interesting.
And we had a smaller one in today that. It was actually at 14%, and it only had 27 homes. So that one was actually really, really nice to see, to have that much, which it was on 7 acres, so I think it had just under an acre of open space.
So hypothetically, if you had a gated community, and you'd still be required the open space, but technically could that open space be private space?
Mm-hmm.
For the gated community?
Oh, yeah. Nothing requires it to be in the city's hands. Mm-hmm. Although if it's a key connection or a path or a park that you're going to put at the edge of your subdivision that other subdivisions can build on, then it's going to be a big community park at some point.
Sure.
We'd like to see those be public. But the goal is just for the residents that buy in your subdivision have those amenities because there are subdivisions that are coming at 400, 300 plus with 0.5% of open space. So now we're just looking at a sea of houses.
Mm-hmm. And there's obviously argument against, urban sprawl and what open space creates.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, thank you for clarifying that.
Yep. Any other topics on or
Wednesday?
Questions on the matter?
I make a motion that we hold our meetings on Wednesdays.
All right. Motion is made to change park impact fees from Thursdays to Wednesdays. Any other discussion? Staff have anything? Any regrets or reasons why we shouldn't?
6:30 or still work for everybody? Okay. I don't believe that there is a reason not to.
Or can we maybe make a motion to have you guys look into it if changing the date is something that we can do?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything we have, because technically this is a public meeting, if there's something we have to do to.
I'm going to catch a lot of crap, but I'm pretty sure we can do it.
We may have to change back in the summer, live after five, those type of things.
So, okay.
Just kidding.
I'd vote that we make this a flexible whenever we want to meet.
So you'll get back to us and let us know if that's an option?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll just ask that you just check in and see if that's something that we can do.
I think. Yeah, for sure. Wednesdays at 6:30. All right.
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
I would like a motion to adjourn.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Perfect. Second that. All right. Motion's made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No. All right. Motion carries.